greetings, everybody. Welcome to Encuentro and Merry Christmas to all of you. It is Christmas Eve, and I was not able to do any podcast today, but I'd like to do this a little earlier. So our podcast for tonight is going to be for Christmas Eve and for Christmas Day. Let's begin with the prayer of St. Francis. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, make me a means of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, let me bring joy. Divine Master, grant that I may seek not so much to be consoled, but to console. Not so much to be understood, but to understand. Not so much to be loved, but to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in forgiving that we are forgiven. And it is in dying to ourselves that we are born to eternal life. Amen. And so it is finally here after weeks of and months of waiting and preparing. We are finally here. Christmas is finally here. And, you know, we're all still here and there's so much for us to be thankful for. So once again, Merry Christmas to all of you. I am praying for all of you. I certainly hope that we pray for one another. We continue to support one another. We continue to keep each other safe. And I certainly hope that all of you have a wonderful Christmas celebration with your families. Our gospel reading for today is taken from St. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 14. Caesar Augustus issued a decree for a census of the whole world to be taken. The census, the first, took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to be registered. So Joseph set out from the town of Nazareth in Galilee and traveled up to Judea, to the town of David, called Bethlehem, since he was of David's house in line, in order to be registered there with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. In the countryside close by, there were shepherds who lived in the fields, and took it in turns to watch their flocks during the night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you news of great joy, a joy to be shared with all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And here is a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, with the angel, there was a great throng of the heavenly host, praising God and singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to all men on whom his favor rests." Yesterday was a really special day for me. Yesterday, I took my parents to get their, accompanied them to get their second vaccine shot. And it was a great day because I was finally able, at least I thought that, you know, I was part of it. I was finally able to convince them to get that their jabs. You know, they had their first one a couple weeks ago. But it wasn't just because they finally got their shot that the day was special, extra special for myself and my siblings. It was also special because of what that event meant for me. You know, I've had friends, close friends, who've lost loved ones because of their fear of getting vaccinated, and they lost them to COVID. And I've also counseled so many over the past 5 months that I've been back here in the Philippines who also have lost friends and family members because of the same reason. So I've been naturally worried for my folks and for my brother, who's a cancer survivor. But I was also concerned about people who I felt were being misled by those whose knowledge, you know, wasn't only weak and inadequate, but whose intentions for, you know, talking about the vaccines in a in the wrong way was unclear. You know, part of my purpose for coming home wasn't just to convince my parents and my brother to get vaccinated, but to encourage others to do so and to stay safe. But over the last 5 months, you know, I tried myself and my siblings have tried to convince our parents to get vaccinated. And, you know, it was very difficult. Each time they would say no. Yeah. So I would think to myself, if I couldn't even do it for my parents, if even I couldn't get my parents vaccinated, I mean, how could I convince others of the need to do so in order to protect themselves and others? So I read, I studied, I did the research, you know, believing that if I armed myself with all this knowledge and proper use of reason and logic and maybe even emotional appeals, you know, I'd be able to convince not just my parents and my brother, but others who hesitated over the last couple of months. Okay? But the thing is, at every turn, I was met with disappointment. Not just myself, but my siblings as well were trying to convince our parents to get vaccinated. And on a number of occasions, I even told people, you know, that I was ready to throw in the towel. I remember being so frustrated one evening at dinner, and so, you know, I live here, I stay here, I've been staying with the bishop. And I remember at one point, it was at dinner time, and I was so frustrated because none of the things that I had tried was really working. So I remember I just said, you know, I give up. I can't do this anymore. I can't keep trying to convince people who seem to have made up their minds. Okay. And, you know, one thing I've learned throughout my years as a seminarian and as a priest, you know, is, you know, you don't easily give up when you believe in something that is good, that is true, that is beneficial. You know, you have to do your best, and then you leave to God the rest, but you got to do your best first. Yeah. So, and the priest, of course, who taught me in seminary, always encouraged me, you know, rather than sit simply with a problem and think about it over and over again, try to come up with a solution, you know, try to come up with a solution so that you don't feel powerless or paralyzed, you know. So there I was all throughout this time, strategizing, if you will, scheming, calculating, coming up with all sorts of plans and machinations, if you will, to try to, you know, get my parents to see the truth, yeah, to see the truth and to finally get the vaccines in order to protect themselves. Okay? And yet over the past 5 months, yeah, in spite of everything I've done and everything my siblings have done, in spite of using all my skill and all my smarts, if you will, in spite of trying to look at the problem that I faced from every possible angle, yeah, with no angle left unseen. I mean, it was exhaustive. You know, everything that exhaustive. You know, the scheme, the plan, the calculations, you know, in order to attack the problem that I faced, there was no stone that was left unturned. Every angle was considered and seen, and every possible scenario was also considered. Okay? Because I've always believed that, you know, when we're faced with a problem, if we're exhaustive, and if we look at every possible facet of the problem, with no facet left unnoticed, eventually we will find a solution. Okay? And if I did that, I could find a solution to any problem that I faced. And most of the time it works. Most of the time it works. This time it didn't. Over the past 5 months, at every turn, you know, every scheme, every plan, every calculation of mine, every strategy, I was met with disappointment after disappointment. And so nothing was working. Nothing was working. I got so frustrated, like I said, that, you know, I just felt like I was ready to throw in the towel and simply going to leave my folks to their own devices. I'm done, I said, I'm done. That's what I told Bishop, I'm done, Bishop. You know, I don't want to do this anymore. You don't want to listen to me, you don't want to listen to me. And then that evening, you know, that evening when we were having dinner, the bishop said something so simple that sometimes I myself, and I'm a priest, I often forget it, you know, because of its simplicity, you know. He just said, you know, pray, leave it to the Lord, leave it to the Lord. And then he mentioned something to me about Pope John the 23rd. I've known this story before, but it's good to be reminded of these things, you know, because we do forget. And he says, you know what Pope John the 23rd used to do? You know, when faced with so many problems in the church, he would say, this would be his prayer. He says, you know, it's your church, Lord, I'm going to bed. It's your church, Lord, I'm going to bed. And so I did. You know, I prayed. It's not that I didn't pray before, I did. But I guess I was trusting my own schemes and my plans and my strategies and my techniques and my machinations, you know, in order to accomplish something that I believed was good, something that was good. But I forgot something important, you know, that no matter how great our techniques and schemes and strategies might be, no matter how good the goal and the purpose of ours might be, at the end of the day, there's something larger than all of them. Okay? And so I did. I mean, I've done absolutely everything that I could. And so I did what the bishop suggested I do. I left it in the hands of the Lord. Too often we forget that, you know, no matter how good or great our schemes, our plans, our visions, our calculations, and our strategies, and no matter how big our problems and the difficulties we face, no matter how brilliant our solutions are, at the end of the day, it is God's will and God's will that will carry us through. And oftentimes, that will, okay, that will that will bring a solution can come not from our schemes, not from our plans, not from our strategies, not from our techniques, not from our brilliance, not from our smarts. The solution will come from Him alone. And that solution sometimes reveals itself in things, persons, and events and circumstances that we least expect to find it. Like a child in swaddling clothes in a manger, born to a carpenter and his young wife, who found no room for themselves at the inn. Merry Christmas, everybody.